The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! I'm just so childish at times. 7:07 in the morning. Good morning, everybody. Carl and Linda Bott right here on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Angel, good morning. Bad Bob, you know what? This is something to walk into, and you come in the morning, the first thing that, you know, is the news guys run in there and say, last night, the building's air conditioning quit.
Greeted by warm, stale air.
By that, and so fans are on. Now, back in our office spaces, because we're on a separate air conditioner out here, it's very pleasant where we are.
One that was built during the present administration and not back during the Nixon era, anyway.
Well, I'm not sure where this one, I don't know, I just don't know when this other one was built. I mean, it's not our building. We're just here as part of of what's going on in the downtown. But, hey, what's the weather look like today so that we can have something to look forward to?
The ubiquitous abundant sunshine is on tap for today with a high right around 102 degrees. Overnight lows will be in the mid-60s. Sunny skies, a cooling trend as it drops to 100. And currently in Reading, we are already looking at about 73 degrees. And this report is, correction, make that 76 degrees. And this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay, Shasta Gas Propane, veteran-owned business. Give them a call, 365-3793. Veteran and senior discounts there at Shasta Gas Propane. A lot of things going on this weekend. And we're going to start with the Book Bandit. The Mystery at the Library, and it's a rare and priceless book, has disappeared from the library. Come and help us find out. And it's a whodunit. It's a theater. Anyway, library fans 21 years and over invited to attend this Friday at 7 p.m. $35 with a library card, $40 without. Remember, space is limited. Price includes wine and dessert with a special spill-proof wine tumbler, which they gave me an example of. I tell you what, if you can spill wine out of this thing, you've got to really try. You've got to be crawling down the street with this. Anyway, Friday, June 19th at 7 p.m., give them a call at 246-0146 or go to ShastaLibraryFoundation.org. Sounds like a lot of fun. Aviation Day, Father's Day, June the 21st, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Benton Air Park. Ham, eggs, and pancake breakfast. Now, that cost $8 and $5 for children. Children 5 to 12, $5 under 5, they just can stick their little pie hole in the plate and just eat for free. But antique aircraft, they're going to have helicopter rides by Air Shasta at $50 per person or $120 for your group of three. Fixed-wing airplane rides available from Hillside Aviation. The Experimental Aircraft Association, Chapter 157, is sponsoring this. And all of this is on Father's Day. The big thing is for kids. Now, fair. Today, the fair kicks off, and it's Kids Day. So guess who's going to Kids Day today at the fair? Let me guess.
It'd be little ones.
It'd be us and the grandkids.
The grandkids?
The grandkids are heading for it, and they're just, they're looking for it. I mean, what can you say about it? Except tomorrow's Seniors Day. Seniors 62 and over getting free. Today, children 12 and under are free. Friday, June 19th is Cattleman's Day. Saturday, June 20th is Junior Livestock Day. Junior Livestock Auction at 8 a.m. Now, this is where, the kids sell their animals that they've been raising. But, if you've got a champion there, I mean, you can be making, you make enough money for college. The other things that happen, though, is that you can also donate for this and help the kids who maybe didn't get as many, as rich as bids for their livestock. And these are like goats and rabbits and pigs that they've raised from babies and been judged. Okay, Red, White, and Tuna. It'll be a two-man comedy play about Tuna, Texas, the third smallest town in Texas. Presented by the Green Valley Theater Company at the Grange Hall, also known as the Sons of Italy Hall, on Cedars Road in South Reading. This is a way for them to raise money to benefit the scholarship program of Reading Grange, 446. Give them a call at 356-5978. Tickets are $10, but that includes hot dogs, hamburgers, and all that other great stuff. And I think, oh no, one more. June 21st to July 11th, the Mount Shasta Mall, inside by Penny's. There's going to be an opening ceremony on June 21st, this Saturday, at 2 p.m., Remembering Our Fallen. And it's sponsored by the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, NorCal Veterans Historical Association, and families. It's a, it remembers those who created, was created to honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
And it's a little court right in front of Penny's down there.
Right down there. You know, it's something to go to. That's right. Christian Life Center welcomes Pastor Johnson Love, pastor of Miracle Assembly Church in Abuja, Nigeria. He's going to be in here for a revival Sunday, June the 21st from 10:30 a.m. at 6 p.m. at the Christian Life Center on Browning Street.
Busy solstice.
Wow. I'm telling you what.
Longest day of the year. That's why they did it on the 21st. They had enough daylight to cram all this stuff in. Longest day of the year.
My goodness.
Shorter after this.
Okay.
I want y'all
to hear it here first. Rumors are that the slip and slide, the downtown water slide that's caused so much enjoyment in just talking about it, may be put off. Looks like there may be a decision has been made to rethink that. Now, if Rocky Slaughter's listening, he usually does somewhere in here. Rocky, give us a call. And if that's the case, but what I've heard, it's been rumored, and I've seen it in some places, is that the slide, the giant slide, which was to bring the community together to show how we can save water, may be put off for a while, maybe till after the drought. I'm not sure. I'm sure there'll be some statements being made on this. Hey, today we have Brent Weaver, city councilman, will be joining us at 7:30. And he's going to be talking about a lot happened in city council last night. REU rates, looks like they're not going to go up again. They're putting things off a while, but I want to hear from Brent and talk about that. Also, the Colt 45s, they voted 5-0 to have the Colt 45s handle the security at Tiger Field. I thought they were going to go for all of South City Park, but I'm not sure about that.
Well, I've got the bats already, you know.
There you go. Just start whacking away. And there's a lot of other things that are happening here, but we're going to take a quick break. I want to talk about not just the city council we are talking about. I want to talk about what a great time we had yesterday in a staycation. You know, what you call staycation is what you stay here and have a vacation. And I'm going to tell you where you can go to have one of the best times. And just everybody in the family, I don't care what their age is going to enjoy it and how to do that. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebot, who is with the grandkids.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, July 2nd in Elements Lounge inside Wind River's Resort and Casino. Join me, Linda Bott, as we embrace the American songbook. My special guest will be Joe Larson on trombone, along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and Bruce Kalin on bass. A special menu, Romance on the River, July 2nd. For your reservations, call 243-3377. See you there.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California, 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here, inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol. For all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction, we cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
National News with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:18 in the morning, 76 degrees out there, going up to, what did we say, 100 today there, Bad Bomb?
102.
And the fair opens today, so that'll be a good time. Head on down, get into the shaded areas there, go out and see the pigs. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. And their cardiac unit is in the top 50. Shasta Regional is treating people well. 70 years in the business. Had their 70th anniversary. Randall Hemplin, used to be the CEO out there, is on his way to Las Vegas. And why? Randall is going to play in the Masters, the world champion poker tournament.
You know? Oh, really?
But he plays in the Masters. So
I would
got
not
to be
play
over
poker
certain.
With him.
No, he's good. No, you know he is. No, he is good.
Yeah.
Anyway, he plays there, and so he's on his way there right now. Hopefully, he's going to call in Friday and kind of tell us what it's like. He says something like 460 tables with 10 people per table, and he says it's just really hard to imagine.
I could see Randall going all stone face over a hand of cards.
I can. Oh, you think? There's a guy that knows how to play. He knows how to play cards, and there's nothing wrong with that one. Siskiyou County, they're in the 3rd District Court, overturned earlier rulings and said those who irrigate from the Scott and Shasta River must have permits to do so. Now, these are guys that are along the river there. States now making property owners get permission to use their own property, Mark Baird, vice president of the Siskiyou County Water Users Association, says. This is say they overturned this one Siskiyou County judge and said that she was misguided or something when she said that the state does not have a right, the Fish and Game Department does not have a right to come on and when people are using the river, and they've got their rights there alongside the river, for them to get permits to use it. What happens if they don't give them a permit?
Then the property becomes useless, gets sold for a song, and goes under a land management and essentially becomes property of the people.
upscale community of Mountain House west of Tracy is days away from having no water. We're getting this from our chat room. It's not just about the lawns. They may not have a drop to drink for 15,000 residents in this town because of the water.
They will have to move to a stack and pack in an urban center nearby.
Well, let me tell you where there is lots of water. We were out on Shasta Lake yesterday. Holiday Harbor has got to be the best place to go to for have a great time on the lake. Their guys and girls there are so professional, so friendly. I can't say enough about this guy, Kyle. First of all, you come there, and what we did is we rented a patio boat. And then for the very first time, and this is on Linda's bucket list, we got a personal watercraft, a jet ski. Of course, the grandkids are jumping up and down. They're so excited. Well, so is Linda. They're all three jumping up and down. And now they wait. Okay, yay, jet ski, jet ski. And so we went down there, and Kyle, who has been working there for 10 years, young man, shows us how to use the patio boat. We've been out in patio before. Everything's clicked. And then how to use the personal watercraft. I've never been on one before. I have ridden motorcycles a lot and snowmobiles. Well, let me tell you, we take off since you can't tow it really behind. So I drove it out. Linda drove out the patio boat. We drove it out to a spot where we just, you know, put it up on the bank. And we had lunch, and we used the jet ski all the way around there. And we had a great time. The patio boat gives you a place to have your lunch and to get out of the sun.
The mothership.
And it has a bathroom. Yeah, it's the mothership. It has a bathroom on it, and it's easy to drive. It's easy to use. It's just easy. And then you've got the jet ski to drive around. And frankly, I tell you, Linda was a little bit concerned. She said, "I've never done this before." But I tell you what, it only took her like one time, around the driving, and she is just a natural. And she's got the grandkids on there with it. She's got me on there with it. It didn't scare me too badly. It was great.
One of the things you figure out early on, though, is that, first of all, there are no brakes.
And if you
roll off the throttle, you lose all your steering.
You lose your momentum, and then the water that's behind you catches you and pushes you. I mean, but it's not hard. You just have to remember just to kind of be, kind of leaning and turning and keeping the throttle going here. It's a little lever.
You did have your personal flotation device upon you at all times the jet ski.
Well, first of all, the kids had them on while on the boat. Because if you're under 12, you have to wear them, and so she's 12, so we had her wear hers, and we got there, then everybody could take it off once we put the boat up on the bank, and then we had lunch and all this. But riding in the PWC, we all wore. Oh yeah, you know what? Things can happen, and I've been around too many times. But things can happen. Why risk that? But what I'm saying is Holiday Harbor. I can't say enough about it. And guess what? The water is not as low as it was a year ago in May. So, we've got like 12 feet more water than we did then. And even with them taking water out, but they're kind of they're starting to limit how much water they can take out of Shasta.
Even with all the fish flushing?
All the fish flushing, they still. But this may sound just like an unabashed, rah-rah, but Steve, the owner, was there. We got to see Steve. And then, of course, Kevin Kelly is, general manager out there. But everybody out there. And just what a great time. And if sometimes if you're going to have to come in a little bit late, they can even handle that too. They've got security there that's there. I mean, it's just a great place. You know what? You're looking, say, gosh, I don't want to drive over the coast. I want to do this. Go to the lake, get one of these patio boats, park it out there, and, you can swim and stay in the water all day and barbecue and do all those things. Okay. We really had a good time. The Redding has a new police station, the Robert P. Blankenship Police Facility, a $7.7 million project. Now, people go, oh, we're building a police station. People, I've been in the other police station several times. I have seen sewage backing up. I've seen that you can't use the water fountain because it catches on fire. I've seen water dripping from the roof. It's, you wouldn't live there. You wouldn't work there. I tell you, if we had those same conditions right here, Raul or Bob, are you Raul today or just Bob again?
No, I'm working on my race identity today.
Okay. All right. So whoever you decide you want to be. But the bottom line on this is that they needed it. It's a great facility. It's a functional facility. It doesn't have arches. It doesn't have long hallways. It does have places where the police can actually plug in the electronics that they're carrying. And it's a and it's right next to South City Park, which ought to be interesting. If I was the chief, I'd just have his guys. Just the first thing they do before they go on patrol is take a nice little walk through the park and just clean it. And then get back into the patrol cars and leave for the day. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Just clear out the library, do all those kind of things. At 7:30, we're going to have, of course, Brent Weaver is going to be in here, Reading City Council. A lot happened at the City Council. I didn't talk about hardly any part of it because I want to talk to Brent here. And if you got questions for Brent Weaver, you can give him a call. Give us a call at 605-4567. Okay, now here's the marijuana vote. They said it was the urgency in the marijuana vote. I'll ask Brent about this too, but it was 4-1. And this says that you can only have six plants or less, no matter how many people live in the house that have the
It's all it'll be in the courts. I'm sure we'll hear all about it.
Yeah, things like that. Anyway, there's that one is going to be fought, and there's a lot of people there last night. About that, finding it.
Over the medicine?
I think that they said, what's the urgency? Missy McCarthy voted against it. Said, where's the urgency on this? I don't understand that. With all the other different things that are going on. Okay, I tell you what, we're going to take
all the other things they can do.
All the other things that are going on around here. You know, let's take a quick break here. But this portion of the show is, and we can get Brent on right after that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, across the street from Sierra Gibbs. Leonard and his associates down there have every type of jewelry you could possibly imagine. Estate jewelry. They specialize in estate jewelry, though. That is absolutely beautiful from another era. But if you want a brooch, you want necklaces, watches, they have it all there. And the only trained watch repairman in the whole area is right there at Four Winds Jewelry. If you're looking for something he doesn't have, Leonard can find it. He's got contacts throughout the world. From anything from emeralds to topaz to diamonds that are worth $250,000. He sells them all. Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Give him a call at
222-2750. Speedway's track day and night is Thursday, June 25th. Just think, you could be driving your own car on the Shasta Speedway racetrack. You'll get a full hour of track time plus an 18-point inspection of your car. You don't want to miss your chance to race your own street car on the racetrack. Not only test the limits of your car, but test your limits as a driver. You never know. You could gain some serious bragging points with family and friends. Run your car or one of the rentals. Get one full hour of track time plus an 18-point inspection. Only $75. It's Thursday, June 25th. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Customized sessions, fast pass, novice, no experience, pace laps by reservation only. Go to Shasta-Speedway.com or call 530-515-8282. The Shasta Speedway track day and night is Thursday, June 25th, and brought to you in part by Coors Light, Blue Moon, Lithia Toyota, Tri-Counties Bank, Paint Mart, Napa Auto Parts, Anderson RV, Record Searchlight, Harvest Printing, Pepsi, Budweiser, Cicada Cantina, Applebee's, Logan's, Rock Auto, and this radio station.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane.
My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl. Linda Bott. Linda has the enviable duty of being with the grandkids this week. So she'll be in, of course, with us on Friday, though. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. If you're looking for a firearm, whether it's a pistol, a long gun, John Bastiani, head down to his shop. Famous for his customer service and the just a quality gunsmithing they do down there. Anything you could possibly want for shooting, including ammo, hard-to-get ammo. All this down at Bastiani Arms. Started this business back during in 6 years ago during this tough, tough times, and has made a great success out of it because of customer service and the ability for them to do what they say they're going to do. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Give them a call at 222-8222. Opened Tuesday through Saturday. Well, Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver is with us.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Big night last night.
Yeah, it was a big night. Luckily, I told my wife, don't wait up for me. And when I rolled in around midnight and she was asleep, she followed my advice. It was a late night last night.
Well, you know what? Be careful what you ask for, Brent.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, am I going to have to take away my my title of the Imperial City Council here because you guys are starting to listen to people again?
Well, that's certainly up to you, Carl, and you know your audience. I will say this. I really do believe that this council is going to be issue based. I think we're going to listen, and I think you're going to see different alignments vote on different issues, and quite frankly, I think that's healthy. I don't want to see, groups of voting, just because you think you fall in a certain group. I think it needs to be issue based and, from our backgrounds and how we see the community. And, so last night I think was a good discussion. We got a lot of feedback from, people who showed up in the chambers. I think we had roughly 23.
I think it said people. Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's just tell people is that last night they were discussing the proposal by REU to have a rate restructuring, which they haven't done in 50 years. So you kind of I can understand that. I mean, 50 years is a long time. But the way they were going to do it and some of the ramifications of it had caused a lot of consternation with people. And so last night was to discuss whether to have to go forward with this with the next reading. And so please tell our listeners.
Yeah. So last night we were, as a council, we needed to make a decision on whether or not we wanted to open up a public hearing for sometime in August to discuss a rate restructure. And Carl, I agree with you. I think our rate structure is antiquated, and it is going to need to be discussed moving forward. But I also believe most utilities up and down California, their rates are antiquated. And so I, made a point last night, and I'll continue that discussion, which is I'd like to see other utilities, how they grapple with this issue and how they're going to move forward. And we can look at, best and worst case practices as we begin to form our policy. And part of my concern is if we were the precedent setter, anything that's really unforeseen, the negative impacts of that, Carl, we're going to affect the ratepayers. And I was concerned about that, and quite frankly, because we're just coming out of the recession.
Some slower than others.
Yeah. And growing up here, Reading's a blue-collar community. And I'm just concerned that people's incomes have not, you know, increased in such a way to where, you know, as a community-owned utility, we can change the playing field for them right now. So, and then just one more comment, though. But at the same time, I applaud staff that they're really doing their job trying to be proactive, get the information out there. And so I'll say this, Carl. Are we as a council, is the community more informed now than they were 4 or 5 weeks ago? Yeah, maybe. Does it take saying, hey, we're going to raise, you know, the fixed network access charge? So it got people's attention, and I think when this comes back at a future point in time, you know, we'll be able to approach this from a different viewpoint.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, first of all, I'm all for planning. Going out 4 or 5 years, because we need to take a look at what our city is going to look like in 5 years. So yes, I also applaud REU for doing this. But I also, think is that for the last, was it 4 years, they've raised it 7.8% for the last 4 or 5 years.
Six years.
For 6 years, yeah. 7.8% each year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, 50-60% almost that they've done here in the last 6 years. They've raised the rates 60% in 6 years. Well, not quite that much, but, yeah. You know, 50%. And now they're going with this one, talking about raising the fixed rates. And I think that people, I think you're right about this, is that people that are on a fixed income, this is going to, you know, people go, well, that's just another $30. Well, that $30 is a big thing.
Yeah.
And also people that have actually listened and tried to lessen off the type of electricity they're using. Bought solar, you know, found different ways, you know, put a lot of money in your house, put double painted windows, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, okay, and but to have it say, well, you know what, we're not making enough money now. I saw all different types of ideas, including, well, if we do have to go up to charge them even more money, but use that money to help pay those who have problems with their electrical bills.
Sure. Well, Carl, I'll make one comment about solar. I'll tell you, I thought I had a decent understanding of solar before, you know, I started researching this. But, you know, first of all, the city of Reading Electric Utility, we are not anti-solar. We're one of the sunniest communities in the entire United States. And so we should be having our arms open to solar. But I think this is going to be a conversation, a very important conversation moving forward. Because, you know, I'll use the analogy of, you know, cars are getting higher miles per gallon today.
The whole thing.
And the gasoline tax is having a hard time now keeping up with maintenance of roads. And, you know, that's an antiquated revenue stream. And it's not, to me, it's not unlike what we're seeing in utility rates. And so this is a conversation that needs to continue. If I could, I will say, you know, on behalf of REU and the staff, I really don't believe, Carl, they were, you know, trying to come at this and, you know, try to stick it and try to do, you know, wealth redistribution. I think, you know, they're trying to get people paying their fair share, but you also got to consider other, you know, factors. A, timing. B, can we look at, well, okay, this is a hard nut to crack. Well, who else has done it and how did they do it? You know, again, something is monumental shift of this. We have time. We have time to slow down, yeah. and do this the right way.
Well, you know, when you say the wealth redistribution, some people will say, yeah, it's wealth redistribution from the lowest to the highest in something like this, because frankly, my electric bill goes down.
Yeah.
Under this.
Yeah, my bill went down too.
Yeah,
but it wasn't.
Maybe $15, $18. It wasn't like, you know, just, well, but it's still about the same amount as these other people are going to be paying more into.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fact is, though, that we do have a problem in the fact that the less electricity, we haven't had any growth in electricity since 2007.
Yeah.
That we need to take care of our infrastructure, and that costs X amount of dollars, and then the cost of labor is going up, the cost of everything is going up,
yeah,
and yet the electricity use is going down. So there's got to be something there,
yeah.
But I don't know if we need to make it the highest, if we should be the nation's highest access rate.
I agree with that, and we'll continue this debate, continue the conversation, and also, Carl, part of my thought process as we, you know, move forward here, what are the issues that the community is concerned about? And I guess what I'd be concerned about if we were going to continue the REU discussion for the next year, year and a half, that was really going to take away from what I think other issues and topics that the community wants to see us move forward on, namely public safety, some of the homeless issues, and, you know, kind of just how we feel about, you know, living day to day in this community.
We have some comments here on the chat room. We live in Gold Hills, and we are not allowed to have solar because the golf club has all the allotted solar for our area.
It's got to be a CCNR.
Well, no, I think that the person here knows that. I think what it is, too, though, is REU only allocates so many spots for solar in areas. Huh. I didn't know if you knew that.
But I did. No.
Because they have, they restrict it to X amount in each district there. Otherwise, if you have everybody on solar, it really cuts back on the amount of money that comes in. Now, somebody else, other question was, is REU, because REU is owned by the citizens of Redding, is it required to earn a profit?
No. REU does not, they do not earn a profit each year. They're mandated that revenues that come in, they need to basically put it back into the utility, whether it's paying down debt, whether it's going into developing services, whether it's to stabilize rates. So, no, they're not a for-profit.
And yet they can have a $20 million or so reserve. I'm not sure how big the reserve is.
Well, they are mandated to have so much cash on hand to be able to operate. That's not unlike any other business. You want to have so much cash on hand so when you hit a downturn in the economy or a slowdown in the market that you have operating income. And so that's prudent. And quite frankly, we're dipping into that right now because of the drought and the effects of the renewable energy. We're dipping into those reserves right now, and I'll be honest, I'm concerned about that. We're watching that.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. Bob?
Brent, one of the big issues a few years back, and this is before probably either of you were familiar with Redding. Well, Brent, you probably remember this. Big consternation a few years ago when REU funds were being used to purchase property down there at Churn Creek Bottom by the Hilton Hotel. And that struck a lot of people as, how can that possibly be justified as something in the interest of electric ratepayers buying a piece of property that appears on the surface to have nothing to do with providing electric service?
Well, first I've heard about that, so I'll tell you, I have not heard that. If we want to call Barry Tippin right now, I'd be happy to look into that.
Barry looked like he was fighting for it last night.
You know, I think Barry was... So here's the deal. Running a company, I have, five or six different departments at my business.
Right.
And I want my managers coming to me saying, this is the best business decision we can make. I think they really did come forward and say, this is the best business decision, but the head of the body needs to decide timing. They need to decide other factors of coming out of the recession, how are people, how's the community feeling right now? And you got to align where the community is at to that business model. I was thinking last night, I didn't share this, but my oldest son just turned 12 years old, and we're one of those family. We just got him a cell phone, and some might say that's too early, some might say it's too late, but most of his friends had a cell phone for a few years. And
my 12 year old granddaughter has one.
Okay, so you're experiencing.
Oh no, I know about she's on FaceTime with her mom.
And so for the last year, kids can be pretty persuasive, and he's saying, my son's saying to my wife and I, if I had a phone, I could call you and, keep in touch with you. And, hey, if I had a phone, if I ever got into trouble or, if I needed to call, so.
You could find me if something happens.
He's making a great business case of why he needs a cell phone. But there's other factors as a parent we're looking at. There's social media on there, and Instagram and Snapchat. And, all of a sudden people are going to be able to, influence. And so, we had to reconcile the timing of when he, should have that phone. And not that the reasons for him having a phone weren't good, but there's also other factors there. And that's where we're at here with this rate restructure. It's a good discussion to have, but there's time for it.
We need it. And again, I'm one of those people that we need to plan. I would love to see a plan for the city of Redding 5 years from now. I want to see what the river looks like. I want to see what kind of businesses are along the river. I want to see those things that we want to do so that we can actually point everybody in that direction and say, okay, this is how we're going to make Redding into a viable economy, more of a viable economy, that 80,000 cars a day pass through here. Well, let's take 10% of those off the road and come in here and see us.
And Carl, I mean, let me ask you a question here. Over the last 5 or 6 weeks, people are, because – REU is owned by the community, mm-hmm. and you know, the city councils, the board of directors, and you know, we were receiving emails, phone calls last night in council chambers. We had, you know, a huge amount of the community show up and give their opinion. And I made a comment last night, and I'll say it again. That's a benefit of being a community-owned utility. You think PG&E would have listened to the community in such a way and then, you know, reflected their decision based on the community? You know, I was asked last night by Jenny Espino from the Record Searchlight, you know, was there one person or one group that influenced you? And the answer is no. The entire community influenced me.
There's a lot of comment about this. There's a lot of, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of people talking about this. We're going to need to take a break. John, John's on the line. And, John, if you just please hang on till we after this break. And then we'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's about 80 degrees out there, and it's 7:45 here in the morning of June the 17th.
Trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:48 in the morning, 77 degrees after going up to 103 today. Today is fair day. It starts out kids' day. It's fair. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. And hopefully, this building has called Alliance Heating and Air to get them up here to fix the air conditioner in the building. Otherwise, by the time this show is over, we're all going to just wring ourselves out as we go out of here. But Alliance Heating and Air, Martin and his people have served the North State for over 20 years. It's a veteran-owned business. They have guarantees. They have warranties. They can work on any type of air conditioning unit. why not call Alliance Heating and Air? They're going to take care of you. They've taken care of our house and care of Bad Bob's, so many others. 221-2642. If you're having a problem with your air conditioning, give them a call. 221-2642, 7 days a week and 24 hours a day for emergencies. Check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. Our guest, Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver. And Brent, and we've just discussed the REU vote. And let's go to the phones. John, good morning. Long time.
Good morning. Good morning, Carl. And yes, I'm back in town now, so it's going to be a little more frequent. Good morning to you, your bride, your lovely bride in absentia, and Dad Bob, of course. And Brent, good morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, I've got a couple of questions for you about the REU thing.
Sure.
The first is the proposed rate increase of almost 250% will make REU the highest rate of a private utility in California. And is that really the goal we want for Reading? We're certainly not the highest in income, and we're darn sure close to the highest in unemployment. This is going to have some really major negative impacts on people who are going to need to use REU and can't.
Okay. Well, first of all, I will say for the, you know, what I believe for the city council, I really only speak for myself, and also, quite frankly, for REU, I don't think we want to be the highest for anything with REU. I think we want to keep our rates down. I think that's important not only for ratepayers, you know, residents, but, you know, also for attracting businesses here. I know with my day job, I run into people who are building new buildings quite often, and one of the larger manufacturers who's working on a project right now in Reading, they made the decision to build in Reading instead of in the county, specifically because their monthly utility bill is one of the largest costs that they have each month. So that does factor into businesses' decisions of, you know, where they want to locate or where they might want to expand. And then just the only thing I would clarify is I don't believe this was a rate increase. This was a rate restructure. And
you can put lipstick on a pig in regards to what you call it. It's still a pig.
Okay. And if you let me finish, though, you're going to pull back just a little bit. So it's a rate restructure, but tell that to somebody whose fixed network access charge today might be $13, and then that's going to go up to $42. And so it was communicated in the beginning, there's winners and losers. I was very concerned about who the losers were in this scenario, and quite frankly, it was people who were on fixed incomes in the lower socioeconomic brackets, and that's why you saw us as a council make a decision.
It's still basically, though, Brent, any bill payer is a loser on this thing. I mean, you are in a very interesting and comparative business here. How about if you had a sheet of plywood that you were selling for $13 yesterday and you increased it to $42 today? Do you think people would be rushing your door to be able to buy that $42 piece of plywood?
Hey, John, the thing about it is that last night they agreed that that is not something they want to do. That's why they put this thing off until for over a year, till 17, to come up with some other ideas. So, but they're agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
I know.
Brent's agreeing with you.
But there's so many issues at REU right now. I mean, first of all, the past history of you being used as a slush fund for the city is an issue that's concerned, and many of those loans that are still outstanding might keep the rates from having to be increased if they were paid back. The other part of it that I think is really important to address, you mentioned Barry Tippin earlier. Barry is both an assistant manager of the city and the manager of REU, and don't you think that's kind of a conflict of the interest of the people out here in the town?
Well, I think that's a good question. What I think we are seeing, quite frankly, with Barry wearing two hats, we also saw that with our development services director. He wore two hats, and I think that was a reflection of the recession and really trying to do more with less. And you don't have to look very far over to Chico to see, you know, really a community that's imploding right now by the effects of the recession and decisions that were made. And so, hey, when you go through a recession, I know for me, I had employees, you know, as I was having to pull back paid vacation and benefits and really get our costs aligned with our revenues. that's never fun. People aren't happy, you know, about certain things like, you know, this and that. So would I say that, would I like to have two people, one person being the assistant city manager and one running REU in a perfect world? Yeah, I would like to have two people doing that. But I can understand the management's thought process, which is, hey, we only have so much money. We're coming through the recession, and we're doing what we have to do to survive.
I think John is the hey, John. First of all, welcome back home, and come on down. Have a cup of coffee with me, and we got to move on here. But the other
coffee,
thing,
I want to do a show with you.
Okay, we can do that too. I'm always looking for a guest host here. The other thing too is that if we're working, it's working fine with Kurt Starman and the other assistant city manager, with Barry doing all the stuff over at REU. So couldn't we just do away with one of the assistant city managers and do that one?
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into staffing right now.
I was just trying to answer
John's question of why we do have certain people wearing two hats. But, you know, we're always looking at how to be lean and mean down at the city, and I think we've been very creative over the last year or two.
I got some great ideas for during the
winter. Oh, I bet you do, Carl.
And green trash collection.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Colts 45 should take over the security at Tiger Field.
Yeah.
But just Tiger Field, not South City Park.
They're going to be patrolling the entire area.
So it is that whole area taking over. Yes.
Yes.
That was a good vote.
Oh.
That was a good vote.
Do you mind, Carl, if I just take
a minute
to explain
we need
it.
To talk about this.
Okay, so I don't know how long the Colt 45's baseball season is. Maybe it's 2.5 months.
Yeah, it leaves. We're over about the first week in August.
Okay, so I want people to understand what they signed up to do for us. So they are going to provide security not just during the baseball season. Every day of the year, they're going to have 7 hours of security during daylight hours. And then they're going to have five stops throughout the evening, so five stops by security. They are going to enforce the ordinances that are already on the books, which is if you're down there.
No camping?
Yeah, no camping, no shooting up with drugs.
Nothing. No smoking?
Not having, you know, really intimidating dogs that, quite frankly, are scaring everybody away from coming in there. So, hey, that was a big vote last night, and I think it was a first step of, you know, if the word gets out, gosh, I could bring my – I mean, Carl, I have four kids. I would never take them down there today. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be watching this, and, you know – here in a few weeks, I might be willing to take them down.
Well, you know, and see, there's the problem is that because we've let thugs intimidate us, intimidate people, especially kids. So somebody, I was told a story, a husband and wife went down there just to have like a little lunch down there in the park, as you will, you know, for noon. And these guys came up and sat beside them and just intimidated people until they left. So I understand this, but, you know, with them doing that and perhaps a little more impetus, like I said, when the police are down there, before they take off in their first shift, they do a little, you know, walking around every time they have a shift and walk through the park there a little bit. Could probably discourage people from spending the night there, shooting up drugs, defecating everywhere, and all these things.
Yeah, so I think it, definitely a good step in the right direction, and I think it goes to show, you know, the Colt 45s are a big part of this community, and, you know, they're doing their part to make that area safer, and I think we need to support them for that.
Okay. We've got a couple minutes left. Policing. Pass the no sit, no lie ordinance.
Yep.
I've heard there may be another one coming also.
Yeah, we're working on a shopping cart ordinance, and we have basically just kind of completed a round of city staff meeting with all the different grocery stores, big box stores, you know, in the business districts, and working with them on how they can, A, keep their shopping carts on their premises, and then, B, if they do potentially make their way off or are, you know, shoplifted or stolen, that they're responsible to retrieve those. I think the thought process is, you know, why other communities have adopted a shopping cart ordinance is we need to make it hard for people to, you know, transport their goods throughout the community.
No, because now you see in the bike lanes, mostly what you see in the bike lanes is shopping carts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Thanks a lot, Brent. You know, when all this was coming down, I asked Brent, you want to come on and talk about this? Because it ought to be interesting, and it sure has been. You know, what's happened yesterday, the council took a look at everything that's going on and took a look at what the people are saying. And what's good for the city, too, for electric but also what's good for the people. So
absolutely.
It's looking. I'm looking forward to seeing the, you know, how this continues and the different ideas people come up with.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot. And you know what? I don't say this all the time, but you know, hooray for the city council last night.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay.
We'll take that.
Well, you know what? You got a lot of people going. Okay, you know what? They're out there, and they're you know, it's time to be keep moving forward here. Hey, Kay, when we come back after the break, we've got Sheriff Tom Basenko coming in here. Speaking of moving forward, what happened on this on the jail vote? And I want to hear from Tom what he says and what he thinks about this. And also, you know, maybe this is a time that the city and the county gets together and figures out what to do about this. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for seven counties in southeastern Texas, even though other states will be affected as well.
Some of that rain will actually impact parts of the Ohio Valley and Mid-Atlantic as we get toward the latter part of the week.
As Bruce Sullivan at the National Weather Service, who says that the storm is coming from the remnants of what was Tropical Storm Bill, now just a tropical depression. New York State police plan to expand the search for two escaped murderers beyond a 16-square-mile area where the search is focused up till now. Clinton County Sheriff David Favreau says a search like this is not an exact science.
I haven't been provided with any factual information that would lead us outside this area, and I haven't seen any factual information that tells us we're 100% spot on in this area, so we have to continue to press on to clear our county. That's our first obligation to the people here.
No sign of the escapees since they disappeared June 6th. A new presidential poll shows Marco Rubio faring the best among Republicans in three critical swing states.
According to the latest Quinnipiac University poll, Marco Rubio runs best against Hillary Clinton in 2016 presidential matchups. Rubio's edge on the GOP field is tiny, with several candidates in striking distance. In Florida, Clinton leads Rubio 47-44%. In Pennsylvania, Rubio and Rand Paul both have slight leads over Clinton, and in Ohio, where John Kasich is the governor, Kasich leads Clinton 47-40%.
As White House correspondent Greg Cluxton, two of America's top military leaders, Defense Secretary Ash Carter and General Martin Dempsey, answering questions about the president's policies in the Middle East before the House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry.
The plain, hard facts show that the situation in the Middle East has deteriorated substantially in the last 6 years. What's worse, there seems to be nothing coming from the White House to change that trajectory.
And the testimony continues on Capitol Hill. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning lottery and toner?
Guaranteed, no way guaranteed, guaranteed.
Make on budget happen, make best prices happen. Staples, make more happen. This week at Staples, save up to $200 on select laptops.
Offer ends 6/27/15 in store and online while supplies last. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store staples.com for details.
The Irish Consul General says a fatal balcony collapse in California that killed six young people is a national tragedy. And, of course, not just for the families involved, but he says for his whole country.
I don't think there's a family in Ireland that hasn't been touched by the tragedy that happened here.
That is the Irish Consul General, Philip Grant. Five 21-year-old Irish students who were in the U.S. on work visas died when that balcony gave way. Zoo officials in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia had said that all of the tigers that had been caught in a flood at the zoo in the country's capital had died. It now turns out at least one of them was still on the loose in the capital city of Tbilisi. Officials say the tiger eventually mauled a man to death. That happened today at an abandoned factory that had been turned into a construction market. The tiger was then shot and killed by police. The city was hit by flash flooding earlier in the week. This is SRN News. Still reeling from last week's defeat of the fast-track trade bill, the House is now weighing its options.
One possibility that seems to be gaining favor would be to consider a standalone fast-track bill. The measure would drop the trade assistance provision that Democrats used last week to derail the overall trade bill. Opposition from his own party led to an embarrassing defeat for the president. Since then, he and House Speaker John Boehner have been conferring several times on how to move this plan forward. Voting on fast-track without the worker aid program would send the measure back to the Senate.
That's SRN's Wally Hines. A woman who dropped her toddler into the cheetah enclosure at a Cleveland zoo has been sentenced to a year of probation that includes counseling and parenting classes. Michelle Schwab was charged with child endangerment after authorities say she dangled her two-year-old son over the railing of the zoo's cheetah pen back in April. The boy fell. More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. It is 8:05 here in the morning on June the 17th. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody. Jarhead, Angel, guest, Scott, all of y'all, Mimi, Bad Bob, or Raul, or whoever you are today.
Well, let's see here. Currently inside the studio, we are showing about, I don't believe that thermometer for a second, by the way.
Anyway.
Right now in Reading, we're looking, we're just hovering right shy of 80 degrees as we look at the forecast for today. Low triple digits, 102 for today, 100 for tomorrow, overnight lows in the 60s, no rain in sight. And this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
That's right. Well, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Veteran-owned business with discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. Now, you're going to hear some noise in the background. Those are fans going on. You also may hear sirens going by because all the doors are open in the building, in the offices, and the studios because the air conditioning in the building has quit. In one air conditioner, the one that does the studios in the main office, our air conditioner back where we're at is working great. So every so often we just go back there and sit down. But it's getting hot in here, and it's going to get hotter with all the equipment. But you know what? That's just the way it is. And this portion of the show is brought to you by some really hot guys down there at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive with Espresso Joe's. You can go down there and get that iced cafe, that iced latte, that iced vanilla bean frappe. All down there, plus all types of different brews and drinks and wines. All at Espresso Joe's. Walk next door to the greatest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that is just perfect. All of this at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's, and it is a veteran-owned business. A veteran-owned business at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, we just had Brent Weaver on the show, and Brent talked about the Councilman, Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver, and he talked about the REU and the rate structure and rate restructuring, and it's just not time. And they voted 5-0 to put this off into the priority conference in, I think, February of 2017. They didn't want to raise the rate, so it would be the highest in the state, and it's going up 250% than what it is. So it was interesting to see is that, yes, and by the way, I really believe there probably has to be a rate restructuring. I don't believe that there's just one way of doing it, though. I think there's two or three courses of action. You know, when somebody gives you one course of action and nothing else to draw from, it doesn't give you a lot of wiggle room or ways of finding your way around it. Let's just give three courses of action for the rate change or for the rate restructuring and say, okay, here's three different ways we can do this, and give the council people who this is not their, you know, this is not their forte, not all of them. They've got to, you know, to come up on everything that's going on with REU and take a look at it and see which one of those three fit, or maybe it's going to take a couple of mixed together that fits. You know, never just one. Because people then get fixated on one way of doing something. You've got to have the ability to look out beyond the boundaries and put it together. This is what they should do. It's simple. Give me three rate restructures. Give me three different versions of this. And we'll go from there. The other question is that I understand about, you know, money, how much we can pay people. But if Barry Tippin's running REU and Kurt Starman and his assistant city manager are running the city, why do we need a third city manager? Why don't we take that money and use it to hire an REU guy? Maybe it'll be Barry. Though Barry's an engineer, he's not an electric guy. Okay. I'm sitting across from a warm personality. and someone is just, he walks in and says, oh, air conditioning off, huh?
Hey, that's a clue in police work.
I tell you. Oh, it probably
this
is.
This is the time of year when they love those vests.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, tell me about it. You're going out and wearing your battle gear with flak jackets, helmets, crotch protectors, neck protectors, extra ammo, grenades, tourniquets, everything on you, and water that's like 99 degrees that you're carrying on you. Oh, you drink it and it makes you thirstier. Then you're sitting inside a Humvee.
At about 160 degrees.
Oh, I've seen people put their hands on it and just watch them just jump like that. And then, you know, you're wearing gloves. You're wearing all, you know, your sleeves are down because for everything. I mean, it's just. And so today here I am whining about a little bit of air conditioning off, and it's not even probably not even 85 degrees in here yet, though it's coming. Sheriff Tom Basinkle, Tom.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. I got the grandkids here. Linda's out. We're going to go to the fair today.
Oh, good.
We went to Holiday Harbor and went out on the lake yesterday. I tell you what, I can't recommend anything more than Holiday Harbor. I talked about it earlier, but these guys really know what they're doing. You can get a patio boat. You can get a PWC. You can get anything there. But going out and just going out on the lake, it doesn't take much gas. I mean, you just go over and you just find a cove. You park it there and just swim and have some sandwiches and lunch or barbecue.
And there's still plenty of water there.
Ah, there's more water in there now than there was last year during May. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot more water than it used to. I mean, you think, oh, my gosh, there's no water in there. No, you can go all the way up into different parts of the lake and all
that. And all the various resorts have rentals up there that are available, whether it be ski boats, fishing boats, or PWCs, like you said, houseboats, so they can check in and enjoy a couple of days up there.
Well, that's what we're thinking is next time. Next year when the kids come, because they just love that. Is maybe taking a houseboat out for a couple of days and just, you know, spending the night out there. You park it, you know, you spike it down, and then you have that. But it was just a great day. And, you know what, it's a way of getting out of the heat, too.
Right.
Maybe you should, you know, maybe take all your inmates out of the jail, take them up there, let them swim, splash around a little bit, kind of help their morale, you know, and then bring them back. What do you think?
No. Let's see. Take all the inmates up to the lake for a weekend on the lake. Okay, yeah, no thanks.
You know, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to take a break, you know, 3 or 4 minutes early because we need to talk about the jail.
Yep.
And we need some time to do that without taking a break. So let's take one now. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basinkle. We're going to talk what happened with the jail. And there's some serious things going on here besides just that vote. We'll be right back.
Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just gray houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068.
224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
Uncle Bob, where does Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same. As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl on the bot. Linda's on assignment with grandchildren this week. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction here, which is probably a good thing to do. Get your concealed carry because we don't have enough jail space.
Join the 6,200 other CCWs in Shasta County.
There you're right. Ted Leidy and his team of instructors right here for Northern Firearms Instruction. During a period of time here, NFI is going to provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. The reason they do that is some people come in there, and as I was just out instructing on Sunday, we had several people who had the wrong gun. So we had to put them onto a different gun, and so that they can shoot. But they can all shoot. They are all safe. They all pass the class. But they need to get a different type of gun. And this is the type of thing that Northern Firearms does. They'll go out and help you with your purchase. Select it. They're not making any money off it. So you get the right gun for yourself so you can get your CCW so you can protect yourself and your family. Give them a call at 999-1822 or check them out at readingccw.com. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and let's just get right down to it. Sheriff, you brought up a proposal to the Board of Supervisors for expanding the jail, or the new proposed facility.
That could be appropriate bump music there, too.
Yeah,
pretty dramatic.
Pretty surprising. Yeah, okay.
But, good job, Bob.
You know, that just blew my whole thing there, John. My eyes get real big. I'm like, what? Did something happen? I thought it was me. Okay, let me start this all over again. Thank you, Bad Bob. Is you brought up a proposal. We're building or rebuilding a facility, a rehab.
Right,
facility.
Adult Rehabilitative Center,
right.
ARC.
And it's for
64.
64 beds. You brought up a proposal to be able to double the size of this. Mm-hmm. And this is something you've been talking about.
I mean, actually,
you
two
planned,
proposals.
But you planned, yeah, to make this thing big enough so we could do this because you knew it was going to need more than 64.
Absolutely. And the cries of the people, the concerns with crime, AB 109, Prop 47, all have had impacts. Of course, the capacity releases from the jail because we're full.
We're
and
always full.
So I said, hey, I told the architects, I said, if there's a way that you can build this and show some expanded beds, either for 96 beds, which would add 32 more, or 64, doubling the size of this, either to build it now or prepare for the future, this is the way to go. So they prepared those plans. And those plans, 96 beds, probably would have been the same cost to build as 64, but then there's been increases over the last year or so in building costs. But anyway, so it would have been about $1.8 million in additional building cost for the 96 beds, and an additional cost of $4 million to double the space, double the beds, to 128, desperately needed. Right now, as we speak today, we are short 102 beds for the county, and by 2030, we're going to be 199 more beds, so a total of 201 beds short by 2030, at least.
That's 15 years from now, and I can understand that. But what we're up to right now
is right now.
Right, we're up to our neck. You've said for 3 years we need a spot to put 200 people at least, get them off the street. Now this jail is not going to. This jail will help do that, or the rehab facility will help. Because we need to take I keep hearing the same thing, that there's a small percentage of the criminals that we have to arrest all the time.
About 10% cause 90% of the crime.
If we could get those 10% off the street,
we could have
we have a reduction in crime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you brought this. You brought the plan up. Did you just pull us out of your holster one day and say, "Hey, let's just do this"?
No. I know we needed the additional beds, and I said, if there's a way, I know that it's more economical to build new at the time and have it expanded than it is to remodel later on. And so I said, work us up a plan and see if we can make this feasible to add the beds. And our architects, Nichols, Melberg, Rosetto, did a great job in
No arches or anything like that, right?
No arches or anything. Okay. I just wanted kind of a utilitarian building, but they were looking at the floor plan, and so they developed it. And fortunately, we have the 96 and the 128 bed plan, but the board or a couple of the board members were concerned with the additional cost, even though there is available in the county budget. Obviously, you can't use it all, but there's identified by the county auditor $30 million of discretionary money that can be used. The county is receiving or will be receiving in the next month or so from the state $2.3 million that they were not anticipating in receiving from reimbursement payments from some pre-2004 state mandates that the state didn't pay the counties for. So that was $2.3 million they weren't expecting. On top of that, I knew that let's make this work. I knew it would be a challenge to get the additional monies. So I went through our budget, and it's already really tight. We identified out of our budget and some additional funds that's available, we identified another $1 million that we could utilize to help expand this out.
And this is from your budget?
From my budget, sheriff's office budget, and a couple of what they call restricted accounts that the money could be diverted and used for that.
Okay. So it's going to cost how much to build, say, the 128?
It would have cost an additional $4 million. So right now the state money is $20 million. Mm-hmm. The county has to kick in $2.5 million. So if they would have kicked in another $4 million for a total of $6.5 million of county money, they could have doubled the bed space of this facility.
And, okay, so
64 bed.
And you presented all this, how it could be paid and all this.
Yes.
Okay, so it went up to a vote. And it'll take 4-1. 4-1 to make this happen.
At least a four-fifths vote, because a four-fifths vote was required because there was a budget amendment. And that's required by law as well. So originally, Supervisor Les Baugh made a motion to approve the 128-bed facility, and Supervisor Chappelle seconded that motion. And then during the discussion, it was obvious that that was not going to be able to move forward with the 128-bed.
And the reasoning behind that was because?
Still concern of where the $4 million come from, even though we identified all this. There was obviously no movement on wanting to utilize any of those funds for that, even though they were available. And so Supervisor Baugh withdrew his motion, and then Supervisor Giacomini made a motion for the
96-bed option, which would have cost an additional $1.8 million.
Okay, so it's at least
lots of discussion.
Another 20 or 32 beds or something like that.
Right, 32. But it would have been better than 64. And even then, that went to the vote. And then the vote was 3-2 with Supervisor Baugh, Giacomini, and Chappelle voting for the 96-bed option. And it failed because it did not have a 4/5.
Okay, so that means that the Board of Supervisors, I guess, what he's the chairman during this time frame, Modi?
He is the current chair, yes.
Okay, Chairman Modi, and then Supervisor David Kehoe voted against expanding the jail.
Yes.
And the reasoning. What was the reasoning?
Mainly they were concerned with the additional cost, either the $1.8 or the $4 million. And the operating cost. The operating cost.
Let's talk about the operating cost.
The operating cost is what it takes to obviously operate the facility. So a lot of it goes to salaries and benefits, but you have food, medical, laundry, things like that. That was estimated to be at about $3.1 million to about $3.5 million to operate. The cost for the staffing. Mm-hmm. Is the same whether it's at 64 beds or 128, and that's due to state requirements of the way jails have to be staffed.
Okay, now that was because that was a question I'd asked you about before. It costs the same whether you've got
64 or 128
because of the way it's set
staffing.
Up. You're right, for staffing, the way it's set up. Of course, you're going to have to pay more for medical and
food
and all that kind of stuff. I understand that part. Okay, so we're getting then for the same for the staffing's the same. So we don't have to, we're going to have to pay that anyway, which is probably the largest amount of money.
Yes,
right there. And so another $300,000 or $350,000 a year to double the size of the or to double the amount of
the
prisoners
capacity.
We could put
mm-hmm.
in there.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that would and knowing that this is a concern, I had the figures verified by county staff over at the CAO's office, the county executive officer, and by the auditor. Both have said, yes, your figures are accurate and they are reasonable. On top of that, for staffing, the State Board of Community Corrections oversees the jail rules. That's the state that mm-hmm. says for Title 15.
Right.
They looked at our staffing needs and they said, you know what? Your staffing is good, but for us to approve it, you need to add a couple of correctional officers. So we added that before the meeting, and okay. those were all in the calculations. So the state said, here's what you're going to need to staff it. And so there was no doubt on what we needed to staff it, but there was still issues of, hey, juvenile hall needed three times
okay,
more staffing.
And, okay, that's come up. That's come up. Hey, juvenile hall was three times the override, or three times the cost it said it was going to be.
We're not juvenile hall, and that was
Who did
chiefs ago. There was two other chiefs prior to Ms. Neal that had all that going on.
Two chiefs?
Probation chiefs.
Oh, probation chiefs.
So that's,
okay.
Juvenile hall is run by the probation department.
So that wasn't under you then?
That's not under me.
So
they have nothing
so
to
this
do with
is
me.
Apples and oranges then, right?
Yes, it is. And again,
well, so they compared what you're asking for to something that you had nothing to do with. Why didn't they just ask you about the earthquake in Tibet?
They could have done that too.
I mean, obviously that was your fault too.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't plan on that.
No.
Okay. This is. I mean, you know, when I saw that, I thought, well, you know, maybe Tom's office overrode something three times. You know, was
that's why
was
we
wrong.
Had. That's why we checked and rechecked the figures because originally, when we proposed this 64 bed facility, I said, hey, staffing and operational costs is going to be between $2 and $3 million. Always have said that. And initially, it started out at 2.1, and we figured that too lean. The state wouldn't have been able to approve that later, but that was in the preliminary stages of when we were applying for this. Again, crunching all the numbers, crunching what the state needed. The state verified what we needed. The auditor looked at it. The other accounting staff looked at it and said, hey, the numbers are there, they're correct, and they're reasonable.
Okay. Now, here's we're going to take a break now, because when I come back, I have some questions that I just – and I've asked them before in the show. And I need – and I think it's important that the sheriff address these questions. Some of the things that were said that evening I found very disquieting. And we'll talk about that as soon as we get back from these messages.
Right.
Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. The time is 8:29 in the morning here, June the 17th, 79 degrees out there, going up to 103. This is the time to take the kids to the fair. It's Kids Day at the fair. Free admission starting at noon today. We'll be right back.
Shasta Speedway's track day and night is Thursday, June 25th. Just think, you could be driving your own car on the Shasta Speedway racetrack. You'll get a full hour of track time plus an 18-point inspection of your car. You don't want to miss your chance to race your own street car on the racetrack. Not only test the limits of your car, but test your limits as a driver. You never know. You could gain some serious bragging points with family and friends. Run your car or one of the rentals. Get one full hour of track time plus an 18-point inspection. Only $75. It's Thursday, June 25th, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Customized sessions, fast pass, novice, no experience, pace laps by reservation only. Go to Shasta-Speedway.com or call 530-515-8282. The Shasta Speedway track day and night is Thursday, June 25th. Brought to you in part by Coors Light, Blue Moon, Lithia Toyota, Tri-Counties Bank, Paint Mart, Napa Auto Parts, Anderson RV, Record Searchlight, Harvest Printing, Pepsi, Budweiser, Cicada Cantina, Applebee's, Logan's, Rock Auto, and this radio station.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Bad Bob's on a roll today. 8:33 in the morning, 81 degrees out there. It's going to go up to 103. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, across from the subway there. Discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business. It's man's last stronghold. Can't say much more than that, except it's like the Cheers of barbershops. It's a great place. I go there. Bob goes there. Everybody goes there. Almost everybody goes there. To Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. You know what? They may even have to expand. You know, think about that. And today, they may have to bring another barber in. That's kind of scary. All right, our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. We're talking about the jail and why it was turned down. And it seems like, you know, that Tom, you went through all the numbers. I mean, I didn't see all the numbers, but you went through all the people that told you it was good.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't go. They couldn't get enough interest in the 128 beds,
right,
that we need. So, okay, well, how about 96 then? Again, lost. 3-2, because it needs a 4-1 vote.
Correct.
You showed them the figures. Supervisor Modi made the statement, and I can only say I read it, is that they didn't trust the figures that you were using.
You know, I think that was a red herring because those figures were verified by not only my staff, they were verified by county administration staff, what we call across the street over the county administration building, including our analyst that works for the CAO's office. She verified the figures. On top of that, the auditor, the county auditor, the elected official county auditor, and his staff verified the figures as accurate and reasonable for what was presented. And so here you have three separate agencies, sheriff's office, county administration, and auditor staff saying, hey, these are correct. On top of that, the Board of State Community Corrections, who oversees the rules for jails, one of their staff checked the staffing and said, if you add two correctional officers to this, you have the correct staffing for either 64, 96, or 120 beds. So your staffing is correct. And that was done ahead of time. And so I think this consternation of, oh, my gosh, we're not sure of the figures.
No, they said
was threw it
of
out
your
there.
Figures.
My figures came up, but we had them verified.
I know.
We had them verified by county staff.
I think that's what the word was used. Now, Larry Lees was also against us because of the cost. Was this,
yes.
Is this right?
Yeah.
Okay, now he's...
He was not supportive of it, absolutely.
Not supportive. Okay. So, well, then let me ask this question then. Is the... okay, so if the figures were there and it showed it. That has the... what was their solution then?
They had none. I came up with the additions of 96 and 128 beds, came up with $1 million out of my budget that could go towards financing the additional bed costs, identified another 2.3, and identified another over $6 million that could be utilized towards a total of $4 million. And then, of course, the board makes those types of decisions, but I gave them, here's where some pools of money are that can be utilized, and they didn't want to use any of those.
And let's go back to the fact, okay, it was turned down. I have, and I've said this, and anybody's listened to me for the last 3 or 4 years, but I would like to have Supervisor Modi and Supervisor Keogh then tell us what their plan is to take people off the street, take the bad guys off the street. I have not seen something from the Board of Supervisors in 3 or 4 years.
Not seen anything, nor have you heard anything?
No, nothing. And yet they vote this down. Is this a personal thing?
Don't know. You'd have to ask them. It's not personal between me and them, but they're wringing their hands and had options available, and they weren't taken.
Is it time for the city of Reading to start kicking in here? 75% of the people in that jail come from Reading.
There's been talk of that, but that requires negotiation and cooperation between the county and city, and there was
not you to do that.
Not for me, but no. As far as I know, no. No discussion between that. By state law, by the state constitution, the city does not have to, but certainly that would have kicked in some monies to make this happen.
Well, if it's an additional $350,000 a year, and how much was the budget for the year for 98 beds?
For 64 beds, it was about $3.1 million to operate it, staff and operate it.
All right.
For 96 beds, add another $1.8 million to that, so that'd be $4.9 million.
Okay.
No. Yeah, for the additional building cost, it was $1.8. But for the additional operating cost between 64 mm-hmm. beds and 128
yeah.
beds
right.
was about $340,000.
That's what we said. So
the operating cost.
There's been no talks between Larry Lees or Kurt Starman or the Board of Supervisors and the City Council that you know of, that anybody knows of, that said, hey, look, we need to work together on this as a community, and like, we can come up with the money to help build that additional portion, and we'll pay for half of the upkeep, something like that. I mean, we're talking about an additional $1 million from the city plus another $175,000, you know, per year.
That's correct.
To double the amount of people we could take off the street.
And right now, out of our community corrections plan, the community corrections plan allocates $500,000 to house inmates out of county, and that only makes about for 30 over the course of the year to be housed out of county, and then they don't get any rehab services and programs when they're out of county. So my plan was, hey, use that $500,000 once the thing is built, and that can apply towards the operating cost as well to bring down the county. The CCP also puts in $1 million to operate the floor of the jail. If you recall, back in 2009, we had to close a floor of the jail because our budget was cut $4 million. We had layoffs and everything. And when we got the CCP money, the AB 109 money, we applied that $1 million to open that floor of the jail back up and staff it. And so that's paid for by state monies to operate it. The county's not even paying the $1 million to operate that floor of the jail.
Okay. Hey, we know we needed to take 200 people. We've already talked about it. We need to take 200 people off the streets, you know, that they're 90% of them, or 10% of them do 90% of the damage. I'm getting comments here from the chat line here, is that they're saying that the city of Redding's broke if you count in the unfunded liabilities and all the other things they're running into. However, they have money to do a lot of strange things out here. I can't help but think this is something that this is a county jail. Maybe all the cities, you know, have a little percentage there that they could throw in. You know, if we're getting, you know, 2% of the people come from, you know, from the city of Shasta Lake, maybe they should kick in some money. Anderson Cottonwood, well, at least Anderson should be kicking in some money, and then the city of Redding. Then we could actually have a jail that could hold people, and then it is a county jail instead of it all coming out of the county coffers.
By the state constitution, the counties are required to operate a jail. And so that's where the cities statewide say, hey, we don't have to because that's not a mandate. Be great if they did. I'm not going to get into what the city budgets are or are not and what's available.
That's not up to you.
That's a whole another discussion. I know the city has concerns of their operating budget, but certainly it can be a discussion on how we can open this up to where it can make it operational. But it was definitely an economy of scale, cheaper to build the beds, and that was by the county engineer. These beds would have cost, additional beds would have cost about $60,000 per bed to build at the time versus later, after it's built, of over $100,000 per bed. So in the future, if they want to add to it, it requires state approval, because the facility will be owned by the state because of the lease revenue bonds. So if you can get over that hurdle, then it requires approval by the bondholders who buy these $20 million worth of bonds. And so in reality, it's next to impossible to get approval to add on to this facility for 30 years.
For 30 years.
And if you can, it'll cost probably at least $6 to $8 million to add those beds. It would have been much cheaper to do it now, even if you didn't use them.
And you know, that private prison out at Stillwater looks better all the time.
It could. I know you've suggested that before. But again, under state law, you can have private prisons.
Right.
Private jails.
Right. The private prison out there, at least you can kind of like pushing people out there.
Right.
I find this whole thing ridiculous.
So frustrating.
I find it frustrating and ridiculous that we've been talking about it. It's been editorialized. The people have had meetings where there's thousands of people showing up. I'm sorry. But remember July last year of 2015 when 750 people came and I just say 750, it was standing room only, and that many were turned away, and then a month later had 2,000 people
in the Civic Auditorium.
In the Civic Auditorium, a larger venue, and talking about we need to do something about crime. What's happened?
And part of that Safe City project, great presentation, and they did a lot of hard work on volunteer work. Part of that was they said, hey, spend $2 million and remodel the existing annex, which is used for our patrol operations right now, mm-hmm. and get that open. That would have been about 65 beds. Back in February of this year, Supervisor Modi, it was during a mid-year budget review and a presentation about the conditions of the jail and the building and how it'll last for some more years. But anyway, Supervisor Modi said, he would rather see $2 million invested in the new facility, the ARC, than to work on investing it in remodeling the annex, because then there's a duplication of staff and a duplication of the operations, and he'd rather see an additional $2 million go towards expanding the ARC facility out. But when you got down to it, the vote wasn't there. Where you could have taken an additional.
What is that one from Alice in Wonderland? Doesn't this get more?
Curiouser and curiouser.
It gets curiouser and curiouser. I can't help but think that to our board of supervisors. And you know what? Chappelle said this. He says, if we're not going to do it right, come on. You know, what's the use of even building the first one? Well, except at 64
beds we don't have. That's
right. But then, and then, you know, I just don't understand. The fact is that you're showing where the money is and how it can happen. I think it's time that the city, nobody even says, okay, you know what, we need to work with the city on this, because I think the city would be amenable to this because they're fighting crime. It's hitting them harder than it is, say, the people in Bernie, why they wouldn't do this. I find this whole thing abhorrent. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Terry, I just wanted to save some time for you, Terry, when we come back. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wind River Casino and Elements Lounge, where Lady Bot and the Bluebirds play the first Thursday of every month. So July 2nd, join us out at Wind River Casino and the Elements Lounge and listen to Linda, and her special guest is going to be out there. You got to find out who that is. Last time, it was filled with people that were dancing and having a great time, so you need to make reservations, 243-3377 at the Elements Lounge. I mean, steak and lobster for $21.99. You can't beat it. And the food is just absolutely fantastic. Got their new chef doing great work out there at Wind River and Elements Lounge. 243-3377. Make reservations. Say it's for Romance on the River. We'll be right back. Our guest is Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basinko.
Me, I better get in line. Can't hear what he's saying. When I grow up, I'm gonna make it mine. These ain't dues I've been paying. How much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. And he can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine.
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Summer is on us at Redding Kia with 0% financing for up to 66 months. And Kia Motors will make your first three payments for you. This summer is on us at Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue in Redding, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchase.
It's free money. 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2015 Sedonas and 2015 Fortes and Optimas. And Kia Motors will make your first three monthly payments for you. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Redding Kia wants your trade. Get more for it right now at Redding Kia and get 0% financing for up to 66 months. And Kia Motors will make your first three monthly payments, plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, dealer document processing charges, any emission testing charges. Must finance to Kia Motors Finance for this special offer on approval of credit. Subject to prior sale, ends July 4th.
Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue. This summer's on us at Redding Kia.
RedingKia.com.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Pete's Coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about. A place of grace.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Good morning. It's Wednesday, June the 17th. It's 83 degrees out there. Thank you, Shasta Gas Propane, for bringing us the temperature today. The time is 8:49 in the morning. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. Got all types. I tell you what, you can't even believe all the comments coming in through the chat room. I mean, talking about everything in here concerning policing and money and all these things. You can get on there at KCNR1460.com. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, good morning, Carl. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Terry.
You and I talked up at the air show, you were right spot on. Your study was spot on. You have three entities that you mentioned that were backing the facts of your presentation. I've got two questions. One is, what's the basis of studying fact that Modi is refuting your presentation when you have agencies and you have county elected people that did this study for you, helped you with this? The numbers are true. What's basis of study in fact is Modi refuting this on?
I don't know, other than, you know, that's his opinion. And he'd have to answer that question. But
well, then I think Carl should have him on. I think the people deserve that. I think Modi has to come on your program, Carl.
Again, they referred back to an agency that is not under my authority, probation department, about the juvenile rehabilitation center, juvenile hall, and how those costs grew three times of what was anticipated. Even today, the juvenile hall is not used at its capacity. They only have about 25 juveniles housed down there when the capacity is about 80. Although that's good that it's not full, perhaps they're making a difference, and those are probably the worst of the worst. But again, the facts and figures were verified, just not by my staff, but by county staff and the county auditor's staff, and by state officials for the staffing levels as well.
Let's add one more thing onto this too. This wasn't just you saying we need more more seats at the bed, or more beds in the jail. It's not just Carl, just Terry. We're talking some other organizations.
We're talking about, you know, our courts, county courts, the bench. They're frustrated. They know that we need more beds and have supported expansions in the past. One safe place for serving the victims of domestic violence. They know that we need more beds. Just about every citizen in Shasta County has been impacted by some sort of crime, or they know somebody that's been impacted by crime with AB 109 and Prop 47. They know that we need more beds. We've been doing capacity releases in the Shasta County Jail since 1993, when there was no more room. Then add to that the closures of Crystal Creek Men's Camp and our detention annex in the late 1990s, early 2000s, before I became sheriff, that exacerbated the problem there. Here was an opportunity of not to build just 64 beds at a minimalist approach. We could have built either 96 or 128 for economy of scale. And even if the money was tight, not operate it at 128 beds, you could operate it at 64. At least you had the economy of scale to have those beds available when funding came available. And yet, no answer, and I know they don't have a plan.
Okay. Terry?
Okay, well, my second question is in saying that. Okay, first of all, this is his opinion. You know the opinion of all your constituents. I don't think there's anybody in the county that doesn't think we need more room. I don't think there's anybody. So here he bases this on opinion and the possibility that it might cost more in the long run or something else did.
We know it'll cost more. Well, we know it'll cost more to operate it between serving of food and medical costs. That was identified as about $340,000. You can round it to $350,000 if you want.
Okay.
But a lot more economical than sending them out of county, because to house that same 64 inmates, if you sent them all out of county for 1 year,
right,
that's $1.8 million.
Right.
Okay, Terry, was your question?
Second quick question, okay? Okay, we have people who are elected that say, you know, how does this help my constituents? How does this hurt my constituents? And then we have people that are elected that say, how does this help me or hurt me? I think what you have to ask Mr. Modi, and I think you have to ask Mr. Keough, what the elephant in the room is, there's no logic, rhyme, or reason for this other than some sort of benefit. And I know that, and I don't even know if that, I'm going to say that's probably not even an opinion. When you're going against 90% of the population and a sheriff who works his butt off presents a program that's totally viable, feasible, and you try to refute it with opinion, there's something, there's an elephant in the room, and you need to get those folks on, Carl, both Modi and David Steele, to explain themselves.
We're going to try. Now that the sheriff's been on, I'm going to
back in 2000.
I'm going to reference this and then ask them on.
There is no try.
There's only do.
Previously, in 2007-08, I went forward and got $30 million of funding to build an additional jail. 262 beds required $5 million of input from the county. We were awarded that money. The supervisor said, gosh, we don't know how we're going to pay for the $6 to $8 million of operating cost. Gave them some options where we could have partially opened it, but we could have had some 232 more beds. They turned down that money. So that went back. A couple years later, this project comes open. We put in for it. Again, we are awarded the money for 64 beds, and I develop a plan to expand it out to 128, either 96 or 128. So two more plans. They turn those down.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do is, and I'm going to reference this conversation here, and let them listen to it, of course, I mean, if they're not listening already. And I'm going to ask the chairman of the board, Leonard Modi, to come on and explain to the people why, and to everybody, and why he felt like this project should be turned down and what the reasoning was behind it. And I realize Larry Lees is involved in this and also David Kehoe. But still, you know, Leonard is the chairman of the board, and he's a former police officer. So, I mean, that gives he's been in the police, in the arresting side of it, maybe not the holding side, but the arresting side. We'd love to hear from either one of them, and maybe Larry Lees too, about why the vote was bending, but what are we going to do in the county? How can we get more bad guys off the street?
You know, this $2.3 million that I said the state was going to be sending a check for in the next month or two, even the governor in his May revised budget that just came out, he had a statement in his May revised that basically said, hey, counties, I'm sending this money back. I think it's a total of about $400 million. Shasta County would have received 2.3 of that. I'm sending this money back to you. I think you should use it for public safety, for dealing with the impacts of prison realignment, AB 109, and for mental health issues. It had that emphasis on it. The governor can't mandate that, but he put an emphasis on it in his budget. We didn't use that $2.3 million. They said it was out of the general fund. I looked at a previous check that was received in July of 14 that said, hey, we got $285,000 back from the state. Tens of thousands of dollars of that mandate reimbursement was for the sheriff's office expenses of doing investigations and certain coroner's investigations, certain booking fees. So it just wasn't out of the general fund. It was out of the public safety fund. But again, they did not want to use any portion of that $2.3 million to go towards the solution of additional beds.
Okay, now somebody has written in here and said, Kehoe and Modi both said in the meeting that their concerns for the budget that prevented them from voting for this, and Modi said he wouldn't put the county into bankruptcy by overspending. Okay, I mean, I understand the part about the overspending, but they're saying they had, and this is what they were using, isn't it?
They did. They also
they said it was because the budget won't take it, but the sheriff said that you showed them where the money could come from, and it was mainly out of you and money that was coming.
And that's correct. And your person from the chat room made a good point because they don't want to send the county into bankruptcy. We certainly don't want to do that. I don't want to see that for the county. And there a point was made too that. Right now, in this 15-16 budget, the county is spending approximately $11 million more than it is receiving in revenue. So they have some funds that are basically in, I'll call it a checking account or savings account just for lay terms. But they're going to dip into their savings account $11 million to make this year's budget work. Obviously, that can't continue year after year if you're using, eating into your savings, because that's how counties and cities got in trouble. But
Do you think you'd make it a priority to try and double the size of a jail that we desperately need right now?
You would think that. Okay. Sheriff Thomas Enkel, thanks for being here with us, buddy.
It's always a pleasure.
I know, you know
in.
What? Like I said, it's this kind of thing. I mean, you're you're usually very calm, no matter what's happening. On this one, though, I mean, it's obviously you thought you were right and that you had the facts, the figures, and when something like this happens, especially since you take the brunt of it from people when they turn around and talk about a revolving door.
Correct.
Okay. Hey, tomorrow, Trish Clark comes in here, and solar. Some of the solar power guys come in here talking about why they think that the about electric rates, but obviously that's been taken care of. But they can still come in and talk about solar and all this. Friday, Congressman Doug LaMalfa will be joining us. So that'll be interesting to talk about the trade pacts and all that and how he voted and why he voted like that. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Don't forget to get to the fair this week. And, you know, you all are good guys.
At the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says U.S. efforts to train the Iraqi military to take on ISIS haven't gone quite as smoothly as hoped.
Partly because of a lack of recruits.
Of the 24,000 Iraqi security forces we had originally envisioned training at our four sites by this fall, we've only received enough recruits to be able to train about 7,000.
Carter says the recent deployment of an additional 450 American trainers can make a difference.
It's in the heart of Sunni territory, and I think it will make a big difference in the performance of the train and equip program.
And Carter says the U.S. is already seeing positive results.
SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Flash flood warnings posted across southeast Texas. The remnants of Tropical Storm Bill dumping heavy rain on areas still waterlogged from Memorial Day flooding.
We've seen rainfall amounts upwards of 7-8 inches. And